Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Moving along now in our study in 1 Corinthians, we come in chapter 6 to a new section, verses 12 and following, where we examine the Bible doctrine of Christian liberty. Now, this will be the fourth major problem in the Church of Corinth that Paul is dealing with in this epistle. The first one being divisions in the church, discussed in chapters 1 through 4. Number 2 being immorality in the church, discussed and dealt with in chapter 5. The third is lawsuits in the church, and that's the first part of chapter 6. And now we come to the misuse of Christian liberty in the church, in chapter 6, verses 12 and following. Christian liberty. That is a wonderful truth. There is glorious freedom in Christ. Sometimes we sing, or at least some people, perhaps sing the song, "Free from the Law, O Happy Condition. Jesus has died, and there is remission." A good song if you understand what it means, and sometimes it is misunderstood and misapplied. So that's the problem with the doctrine of Christian liberty. Properly understood, it is a wonderful and glorious truth that is clearly taught in the Word of God. But when misunderstood and misused, it becomes a great problem, a great matter of dishonor and disobedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. There are a couple of terms that are used for those who misuse the doctrine of Christian liberty. Sometimes they are called libertarians. A libertarian is one who turns Christian liberty into license. Sometimes they are called antinomians. An antinomian is one who is opposed to the law, antinomian, against the law. And what is referred to here is to the commandments of God, the law of Christ, the instructions that are given to us in the Word of God. And those who reject such laws on the basis of Christian liberty are misusing the doctrine of Christian liberty, and so we need to understand what is and what is not meant by this doctrine. So to that end, we'll gather around the Word of God on this Monday, September 6th, thankful for the opportunity to do it, thankful that you can join us, thankful that some of you are supporting us financially. Well, all of us should be interested in resisting man-made regulations. Those who pile on commandments and requirements upon scriptures that are not actually given to us in scripture. They are extensions of extensions of extensions. They are fences that are built around fences that are built around fences. You know what I'm talking about? If we would consider the commandments of God in scripture to be fences. The fence shows us where the line is. Inside the fence, we are obedient. When we cross over the fence, cross over the line, climb outside the fence, we are disobedient. Inside is compliance with the commands of God. Outside is disobedience to the commands of God. But what some people do is build a fence around God's fence in order to protect us more, what should I say, more safely from violating the restrictions of the first fence. We want to help you. We want to help you not violate the law of God. And because it's easy to do that, we're going to add a few additional requirements that will make it safer for you so that you don't disobey the law of God. And I'll tell you what that is. That is Pharisaism. That is exactly what the Pharisees did in the days of Christ. They took the laws of God, the laws of Moses, and that primarily was the Old Testament law. They took the laws of Moses, and then they said, in order, for example, for you to make it easier for you not to, say, violate the Sabbath, we are going to put a few more requirements there that will make it more safe, that make it more certain that you will not violate the Sabbath. The Old Testament does have some very clear regulations regarding the keeping of the Sabbath, how it must be kept, how it must not be violated. But, for example, just in general terms, the Old Testament says that no work is to be carried on the Sabbath. Well, what constitutes work? This came up in the days of Christ. Remember how the Pharisees chided the disciples of Christ when they walked through a field of grain on the Sabbath, and they took some of the heads of grain and crushed them in their hands and ate them because they were hungry. Just a few grains of wheat that they picked up going through the wheat field. And the Pharisees, who were watching for any possible violation, pounced on them and said, "Aha, aha, you violated the Sabbath because you have performed work on the Sabbath. That's work. That's reaping and threshing. You plucked the grain, you reaped it, and you rubbed it between your fingers in order to separate the wheat from the chaff. That's threshing. You have done work on the Sabbath. You violated the Sabbath." Well, Christ made it clear that that is not what they had done. There was no violation of the Sabbath in satisfying their hunger in this way. Moses did not command, when he said you shouldn't work on the Sabbath, he didn't command that you can't even take some handfuls of grain to satisfy your hunger. That's not the same thing as putting in a day's work or half a day's work or whatever else in reaping your harvest and or in threshing your grain. One is clearly work. The other is not. It's just simple human activity, normal activity that all of us need to do in order to satisfy our hunger. But that's the sort of thing that the Pharisees did all the time. They were always adding regulations on top of regulations in order to make it more certain that people would not violate the law of God. And that is legalism. That is going beyond the law of God. That is adding to Scripture. That is Pharisaism. That is wrong. We should all resist man-made regulations. What men add to the Word of God does not carry the same authority as the Word of God. And to add to the Word of God actually becomes dangerous because it confuses the issue of what is and what is not truly the Word of God. And so our goal should be to obey the Bible, no more, no less. Everything the Bible says, we don't want to be guilty of subtracting from the Bible, keeping less of the Bible than it actually gives to us. But on the other hand, we don't want to be guilty of adding to it either, putting more regulations upon people than what the Bible gives. And so though we should all resist man-made regulations, we should all equally, and listen to me now, we should all equally resist libertarianism. We should resist disregarding the law of God totally. We should resist misusing the biblical teaching about Christian liberty in order to give ourselves the liberty to do things that the Bible says we should not do. Now let's examine how this comes out to us in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And in verse 12, we have what I think is clearly a statement of the words of a libertarian, what they would say. Verse 12, "All things are lawful for me, And that's the statement. We'll stop there. That sounds like a slogan. All things are lawful for me. It represents libertarian thinking. I can do all things. All things are lawful for me because I believe in Christian liberty. Now, where did that idea come from, that all things are lawful for me? It could have come from a misunderstanding or a deliberate misuse, misapplication, misinterpretation of Paul's teaching regarding the new covenant. That the old covenant has been fulfilled in Christ. We are now living in a new era under a new covenant. And therefore, the regulations from the old covenant are no longer binding. We no longer have to follow the Old Testament dietary laws. We no longer have to follow the Old Testament ceremonial laws, the feast days and so forth and so on. And so we have liberty now that the Jews under the Old Covenant did not have. This applies to obsolete Mosaic regulations. We have liberty. All things are lawful for me. You can apply that to the area of what you eat. Under the Old Covenant, there were very well-defined restrictions. You could eat this, you can't eat that. You could eat this, you can't eat that. It really got into detail, if you studied those laws in the Old Testament. And Jews had to be very careful and very scrupulous to obey those laws, because otherwise they would be guilty of law-breaking. But in the New Covenant, we have something very different. And we are specifically told that all of those Old Testament dietary laws are obsolete. They no longer apply. We are now free to eat whatever we desire to eat. We are free to do so. Some people still have difficulty with that. I can remember, it's been several, a lot of years ago now, probably two or three decades, let's say at least two, when someone visited our church. I don't even know who he was or where he came from, but he just happened to show up on a Sunday and went to one of our adult Sunday school classes. And in answer to a question and answer session, he started haranguing against those who eat certain foods. I can't remember now what it was. It's been so long ago, and I wasn't in the class. I got this, of course, secondhand. But Christians shouldn't eat this. Christians shouldn't eat that. I don't remember what it was. Maybe it was pork. Maybe it was something else. Christians shouldn't eat pork. Christians are supposed to follow the law of God when it comes to diets. The reason why so many Christians are sick is because they're eating things that God has forbidden. Whoa! Now, surely we should use common sense, and we may decide not to eat certain things because we have come to the conclusion that they're not the healthiest thing that we could eat, but it's not because God has restricted them. Just the opposite. We are free to eat all things, Paul tells us, as long as we give God thanks for it. If God made it, we can eat it. That's as simple as that. Just give him thanks for what he made. That's the new covenant regulation or lifting of regulations. And that is what it means to exercise Christian liberty. We are free in these matters. We'll take it up again tomorrow. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.